Blog Talk Radio.
Damn, it's not Friday yet. Almost the weekend. Yeah, I thought those of you who are like thinking what I just thought, yeah, it's not Friday yet, would enjoy that whole jump up and punch something music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? Just for a second, let me talk to Android people.
Uh-oh.
Stop sending updates to my phone. Really, people?
That bad?
Yeah, my phone is full. I'm going to need y'all not to do that. Oh, for the love of Christ. I need some space.
This is a shame. This is very true. And I'm all like, why do y'all keep sending me this stuff? Why? But they do it anyway, so.
They don't even ask. It just starts downloading. I'm like, can you wait? Can you at least ask? Would you like to download these 5 new updates? Really? Mm-hmm. So now I got to start clearing out text messages. You know, the midget porn Ginger sends me when I'm out and. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
All right. So, what do we got? I'm sorry. I'm out of it this morning. I'm working on connecting to the real world. But
wait. Well, let me tell them first where they are. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. And I be the angry Corey. And that right there be the angry. What's your name again, woman?
My name would be Ginger.
She's the angry Ginger.
I'm angry Ginger. Man, I'm... on a rampage this morning, boys. You better watch out.
See, when Ginger's mad, we're all afraid because as you see how sweet she sounds normally, now she says she has that little girl voice. Notice it's gone today.
It's gone.
All right, if you don't mind, Ginger, I would like to step in here first because I have an update that we promised you like last month that
we just got on ahead.
Yeah, you know, we just got this from Kickstarter. Remember we were telling you about the Shadowrun game from Harebrained Schemes that was up on Kickstarter?
Uh-huh.
And how excited we were. I did go ahead and shoot a little email over to them, and they responded. But our spam filters, which are like super, super sensitive, protective, overly protective of us, did not allow it through. But every now and again, I go through the folder, and I find a message. So we got a message back. What we asked him about was why was the game 2D and turn-based? And we got a response from Mr., and I just told him to come listen. Hi, Mike Mulvihill. I hope I said your name right. Mike Mulvihill. And they've been doing some updates. So at the time that he wrote this, they had just released Update 3, and he said he mentioned the FPS, which we all very clearly have stated that we hate, Mike. Sorry, we just do. He says, while it's an excellent FPS, it didn't take advantage of the Shadowrun universe. We feel this, doing it this way, I'm kind of... paraphrasing, allows us to return to a more RPG story style that really takes advantage of what we can do on the platforms we've chosen to work with. So if you are interested in checking out their Kickstarter page, because this is what they're using to fund this, I will be tweeting that shortly, probably by the time you hear it. And you can go over and donate or yell at them, I guess, if you don't like the idea. I'm going to wait and see what they do with it. I'm not going to say it's going to be bad. Anything is better than that FPS.
Truth
wow. Good luck to you, gentlemen. We are looking forward to see what you do with one of my favorite games. It better be good because I'm holding a fork if I don't cut you. You see where I'm going with this?
Well, the good news is, guys, it's only a fork. It's not a spork.
Oh.
Sporks mean business, man.
You know, my mother once, I heard a story that she once did something to somebody with a spork. I try not to dwell on it.
Right.
Yes.
I would have liked your mom.
While she was pregnant with me, apparently. See, this was embedded in me from, you know, before birth, the whole cutting thing. So I heard a story has something to do with the spork. It's very frightening, those of you who...
See, guys? See, us women, we are no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your jiggly bits.
She said as I'm eating sausage.
Nice.
Ah, bet. Okay.
Move over, Sopa, Pippa, and Acta. Hello, TPP. Oh, yes. Actually, I am pulling this. I found it on Twitter from an anonymous feed. Is secrecy and limited information is an indicator of worse? Then yes, it is. They were asking, is TPP worse than Sopa, Pippa, and Acta? All right, so first there was Sopa, then there was Pippa. The internet beat those back. Then along came Acta, inciting protests around the world. Up next is something far worse and far more secret, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. For those that don't know about TPP, which is probably a large majority of the population, it's a treaty being devised by the U.S. with 8 other countries in the Pacific, including Peru, Chile, New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, and Vietnam. By the way, where the hell is Brunei Darussalam? And if I don't know you, does that mean you're not small enough for me to care about? I'm looking. You're an island. Yeah, I don't care. Anyways, what many people consider to be the most dangerous thing about TPP is that the negotiations for it are being conducted in absolute secrecy. The public is not being allowed to be involved with the process of this all-too-important treaty. WebPro News recently had the chance to speak with Sean Flynn, IP lecturer and director of the Information Justice Program at American University. He explained why the negotiations were being held in such secrecy. He says, the secrecy is being used to try to insulate the negotiation process from broader stakeholder and public input, and primarily is being driven by the USTR. What they are trying to avoid, of course, is broad attention to the many controversial provisions in the agreement, which would draw criticism from citizens and businesses in the U.S. and other negotiating countries, making reaching an agreement more difficult. This is because the norms USTR is pursuing are not broadly representative of the full scope of interest within the U.S. or those represented in other countries. They primarily serve the big content industries and brand name pharmaceutical companies, which dominate the formal advising process that shapes the USTR positions. As a recent SOPA debate demonstrates, there are many more interests that need to be taken into account in intellectual property legislation. All right, so this goes on. Oh, my good God, this is long. I'm actually going to tweet this so that you can read it yourself, so that you can find out more about TPP. If you notice, they mentioned pharmaceuticals. What that means, people, is that getting generic drugs now could become a copyright infringement. So there won't be generic drugs. There will be the main drug, and that is it.
You know, I'm going to tell you why I don't think that's going to work. It's the same thing with perfume. They try to do the same thing. And the reason that you cannot, I'm betting they're probably going to use the same law. I don't know for sure. But the law, as far as it goes, is perfume. You know why they have those copycats? It's because once it enters or touches the human body, that changes the chemical composition, which means it will not smell, as far as perfume goes, or the chemicals react the same way as it touch each different person. I'm willing to bet that's what they're going to go to.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I don't know. I just know that they should not be doing this at all.
No, this means a monopoly also.
Yes, so people get out there and vote. Get these ignorant asshats. I said it, yes, it's daytime, I know. Get them out of office because, yeah, this is not right. Our big businesses, our music industry, our movie industry, our drug industry, should not be mandating and making laws for us. I'm sorry. They shouldn't.
Word. All right. Those of you who are Sony PlayStation fangirls and fanboys will not be happy to hear this next bit. GI.biz reporting this morning that Sony's Consumer Products and Services division suffered an operating loss of 229.8 billion yen. That's $2.8 billion if you're American. This is for the full year that ended in March, March of this year, compared to the profit of 10.8 billion yen in 2011. Ouch, right? Ooh.
That is totally ouch.
Sales were down 18.5% to the 3.13 trillion yen, or 38.2 billion, dollars from 3.8 trillion yen, with all segments of the division, games, PCs, LCD televisions, and digital cameras, hit by poor sales. Sony's price reduction of the PlayStation 3 and lower sales of the PlayStation 2 were singled out specifically in the games business. Hardware sales were down across the business compared to last year, with Sony selling 13.9 million PlayStation 3 units compared to the 14.3 they did the previous year. PSP hardware sales were down from 8 million to 6.8 million, and PlayStation 2 console sales dropped from 6.4 million to 4.1 million. Software sales for the Sony PlayStation 3 increased from 147.9 million to 156.6 million, while PSP game sales fell from 46.6 million to 32.2 million. PlayStation 2 game sales also dropped from 16.4 million to 7.9 million units. Predictions for hardware sales for the next financial year are also low, with combined PlayStation 3 and PS2 sales of 16 million units compared to the 18 million sold in the closing financial year. PSP, including the Vita and its castanets, their hardware sales were expected to rise from 6.8 to 16 million. Packaged software sales also forecasted to remain in the same, with 196.7 million units. For the entire Sony Corporation, sales were 6.49 trillion yen, that's 79.1 billion for us, for the full year, with a net loss of $456.7 billion. 5.74 billion for us. I'm sorry, that was 456 billion yen. You got to do something, Sony.
Yeah, definitely got to do something, because this is a...
We jump on your butts.
It's not cute.
And we jump on your butts, but we don't actually want you to go away. You know, I said this was going to happen when they lost GTA.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the developer's standpoint. I'm all for getting everybody's money. Y'all hear me say that all the time. But sometimes if you have a good hold on something, a franchise like GTA... Metal Gear Solid's another one I think they've lost. It's going to be making its way to the Xbox. You need to really not let those go. It is an inconvenience, yes, for some gamers. You know, I want to play GTA. I have to have a PlayStation. But when it's a good game, we'll get it. We'll do it. I'm just like, I saw it coming. I said, you lost two of your biggest franchises. You let them go to another console. I know they've always been on PC, but you let them go to Xbox. And you knew...
You knew and you did it anyways.
You know what you had to do. Not to mention, we're not even going to talk about those little fragile handhelds that you create. You need to go over to Nintendo and ask what the hell they're making theirs out of, because theirs are unbreakable. Again, I still point out, I have my original Game Boy with no color, because those of you are like, well, I got a Game Boy Color. I have one of those too. But I have an original Game Boy with the little green and black screen. And it barely has any dent in it. I think it has a dent in the screen. That's mm-hmm. it. And I've dropped it so many. It's another one I dropped so many times, because I think then I was in college. I'd drop it on the bus. Nothing happened to it. To my knowledge, mm-hmm. it still works if I put some batteries in it. So you guys need to make something a little more durable so parents won't be afraid to pick up the handheld for their kids. And maybe look at toning it down a little bit. Just the $600 was a little too much at the beginning. Can we get the next?
Just And by the way, Google Plus, I'm going to kick you in the nads. We have suspended your account because we don't believe that that name exists.
Really?
Yes. I'm having to submit GameAndAcer.com and our show and everything. But they're like,
oh, fuck.
There's no such thing as a Ginger Rocks. We think you made up this name. You need to prove your online identity.
Well, at least they're not Facebook.
Yeah, then.
Who is doing some interesting things this morning?
Yeah, these punks. So I'm sorry, I'm over here throwing a fit. I just submitted my little appeal.
Ginger, don't be too bummed out. They did the same thing to me on YouTube, of all places. I posted a video of myself, and they said I copyright infringed a video from myself. I was like, I am the person in the video. You need to get permission from Game and Atrix to put, I am.
I feel so left out. How rude. How mean.
How can I copyright up on myself? All right, so we got some interesting comments coming from Twitter about the drug thing that you said. I believe this.
Why am I not seeing them today?
So, Twitter is being weird instead of refreshing like mm-hmm. it's supposed to. He says that he believes it's going to hijack the price of the drugs, and it's going to make harder for people getting their meds, namely old people.
Yes, unfortunately, my background is in pharmaceuticals, pharmacy, and I saw it a lot. Old people having to choose between food and medication. You know, which drug do I want to get this week? You know, do I have enough for my heart medication, or do I have enough for, you know, whatever else is going on to eat? Yeah. And it was sad. It was horribly sad. I hated that. I hated seeing that.
You know, when the zombie apocalypse comes, none of this is going to matter.
No, no. And the people are doing this just irritates the ever-loving bejeebus out of me.
It's not going to matter, people. Okay, so are you ready? Because if you're not, I got more.
I am ready. I've got several right here. I think this one is kind of neat. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Teen learns how to run a business using a video game. High school students in Pasco, Washington are using video games to learn the ins and outs of running a business. Like a number of other high school students around the country taking part in Junior Achievement Titan video game program, as reported by KNDO, students from various high schools throughout the area held competitions in their classrooms, with the winners moving on to a head-to-head competition at Junior Achievement High-Tech Business Challenge Wednesday at Columbia Basin College. Using the PC game software, students controlled every aspect of their company, including marketing, what products to sell, how to produce those products, what research and development was needed, and how much to charge for whatever services or products their company provided. The winner took home a $200 gift card. All runners-up went home with a trophy. All right. So high schools around the country are running Titan-based competitions or JA-sponsored events as well. And if you don't know what Junior Achievement is, I'd almost forgotten about them, actually. Junior Achievement is an organization dedicated to educating students about workforce readiness, entrepreneurship, and financial literacy through programs. The Titan computer game software can be found over at titanpublic.ja.org. All right, if you actually want to see this, gamepolitics.com is a really long link. Portal for the Public is also available. The website for JA Titan describes it as a world in which players are CEOs of their own companies in the far-flung future. The game is based on the Management and Economic Simulation Exercise, or MESE, created in the 1980s. Students are charged with running a manufacturing company and mastering six key business decisions: price of product, production level, marketing expenses, research and development costs, capital investment level, and charitable giving. I think this is awesome.
I'm going to need that game. Can anybody play it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. I will get the link for you, and I will also tweet it out for other people to check it out.
Because,
I like
simulation. Like
I said, there is a public portal somewhere. I just got to find it.
Love simulators.
Yes, I know you do, man. I'm going to lose you to this, aren't I?
I'm sorry, did you say something?
All right, so I'm tweeting that out, and then I'm going to drop this in Skype for you for later.
I love you, Ginger. Simulators. All right, speaking of simulators, yeah, you know, I'm about to talk about it. Sims 3.
Oh, no.
Where gaming and fashion are going to collide. We will probably be mentioning this on Pixinista next week. we will harass them. Okay, so they are saying that you can find a look that fits your sim style and get ready for a successful living. The Maxis label of EA and Diesel announced today a collaboration between The Sims and the iconic apparel and lifestyle design company that will give players clothing and furniture from Diesel's 2012 Spring-Summer Collection, which is currently available in Diesel stores and online. In The Sims 3 Diesel Stuff Pack, players will have access to Diesel and their younger lifestyle brand, 55DSL's apparel for men and women, as well as Diesel's home furnishings, so anyone can recreate the hottest looks and decorate their Sims homes with the distinctive furniture that makes Diesel one of the most popular lifestyle brands in the world. Since we always look to create content and stuff packs for The Sims that give our players cool items that play into their inherent creativity and give them new tools to play with life, said Jennifer Lane. She's a producer within The Sims Studio. Diesel's brand of rock and roll meets refined denim fashion style speaks to our fans' love of clothing and home furnishings. What is particularly exciting is you can see the latest fashion in Diesel stores, wear them in real life, and then bring them into the virtual world of The Sims to enrich your Sims' lives and modernize their neighborhood. They're saying you can, of course, dress to impress. The pack includes over 36 clothing items like jackets, dresses, and the brand's iconic denim collection that allows Sims to be who they want to be, whether they're cool, chic, modern, or casual.
Be who you want to be, baby.
Right. You can complete the look at home and give the Sims a fabulous lifestyle with over a dozen objects, including coffee tables, a bed, a sofa from the Diesel Home Collection. Appealing to fans of the Diesel and 55 DSL clothing, many of the items found in-game are also available as real-life items in the Diesel stores and at Diesel.com, which I'm going over to look at because, you know, I got, you know, Pixonista, we got to look.
Exactly.
Of course, it's going to be launching later this summer. The pack will be available for purchase in stores worldwide and also available via Origin. Yeah, you know. It does require for you to have The Sims 3 to play. You do not have to have anything else but the base game if that's all you got. It is currently rated T for teen and available for pre-order. You can check them out at thesims.com/diesel or at our website, of course. And
yay!
I'm going to throw this in on Tuesday because, oh, my God, these clothes are delicious. Oh,
are they? Are they? Oh, I'm going to have to see.
This is me casual now. Me casual in the real world, okay? Not in Second Life. Because, y'all know, in Second Life, I'm all about some evening gowns.
Yeah, Sixay, you are not casual at all inside Second Life.
In the real world, I have what I call my gamer chic. So, and this is it. I have this. If you can see where it says camping in the middle, the girl with the denim dress and the heels, yeah, that would be me. But a Miss Pac-Man painted on my eyelid. That's how I roll.
Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
I got some issues. I know.
Yes, but we love you. We love you anyways. All right, so I guess it is my go. Again, wait, let me close that one. There we go. All right, so over 1 million players sign up for the Secret World beta test. Had you heard about this?
Yeah, I posted that up this morning.
Yes. All right, so according to an announcement made by Funcom this morning, over 1 million users have registered to take part in the beta test for its upcoming MMO, The Secret World. This impressive number, they say, confirms the game's position as one of the most highly anticipated massively multiplayer online games in the world. They also note that the number of players who... Where was I?
Never scroll.
I know. All right, so shattering our previous beta records gives us great hope for the Secret World's launch and its future, says Funcom SVP of Sales and Marketing, Morten Larsen. Combining this positive number with the excellent feedback we have received from both beta testers and the press that have played the game make us very optimistic for a successful launch of the Secret World. Hey, Bastages, where's my invite? You know, you're saying the press. I'm the press. Where was I?
It's anyway. Not until tomorrow, Ginger. But
yeah.
Let me check the junk mail before I have to restrain Ginger.
All right. So Funcom also said that in just over a month, nearly 2 million unique visitors have stopped by Funcom's Secret World website. The company's social media experience has seen almost 250,000 users registered to take part in the interactive pre-launch community initiative as well. Yeah. All right. So on May 11th, Funcom will launch the first of several beta weekends where gamers get to sample parts of the content and gameplay that will be featured in the game when it launches on June 19th. Anyone that pre-orders the game will get to play each of these beta weekends. All right. So that's kind of cool. And seriously, Secret World, Funcom, where is my invite? Do not make me get up in your emails. I will do it.
Oh, man. Ginger, do I need to get between you and the Funcom?
You may have to, man. You may have to hold my earrings.
Oh, no. Oh, not the earrings.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Where be my invite?
Oh, that's serious. Y'all better run.
It totally is. Totally is, man.
Oh, that is so serious. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of you are feeling rather dishonored. And if you are, you'll be happy to know that Bethesda Softworks is saying October 9th, they will launch the game Dishonored. Ah, yay. Okay, it's due October 9th, 12th, wait a minute, I'm sorry, yeah, October 9th of this year throughout Europe, and on October 12th, 2012, I'm guessing, here. No, who wrote this? Okay, will be available in North America on October 9th and throughout Europe a few days later on the 12th. It is developed under the direction of co-creative directors Rafael Colantonio and Harvey Smith. Dishonored is slated for release on the 360 Entertainment System. and, of course, to PlayStation and games for Windows. Dishonored is set in Dunwall, an industrial whaling city where steampunk... steampunk...
What did you say?
Steampunk.
Really? Steampunk.
Steampunk-inspired technology and otherworldly forces coexist in the shadows.
No. Oh, my God. I'm going to take a picture of a friend of mine's outfit later when he signs on. Holy cow.
Ginger. Shh. Must read the story.
She said steampunk.
I know. It's okay. Let me finish the story. I got to tell you about the game so you at least want to, you know what you're playing. You, of course, are playing Corvo, the once trusted bodyguard of the beloved Empress who has been murdered. Framed for the crime, you are an infamous assassin known by the disturbing mask that has become your chilling calling card. Ooh. In a time of uncertainty when the city is besieged by plague and ruled by a corrupt government armed with frightening technologies, dark forces bestow supernatural abilities upon you, Ginger. But at what cost?
The truth
behind your portrayal is as murky as the waters surrounding the city, and the life that you once had is gone forever. Creatively, you can eliminate your enemies in Dishonored's flexible combat system as you combine your supernatural abilities with weapons and gadgets at your disposal, pursue your targets under the cover of darkness, or boldly attack them head-on with weapons drawn. The outcome of each mission plays out based on the choices you make. And it better actually be, you see what happened to those other people, okay? You see what happened with Mass Effect? Don't tell them that if it's not true. You know how they are. Of course, the president of Bethesda Softworks says that he is very pleased that Dishonored has captured people's attention, and they are looking very forward to sharing lots more information about the game leading up to its October launch. And there will be a hands-on build of Dishonored at that place that we're not going to mention. That thing that's happening in June.
we are boycotting. We're boycotting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do need to let you know Dishonored has not yet been rated by the ESRB, which means they haven't had a chance to play it. And I gotta say, I'm a little bit interested. It kind of sounds like a steampunk version of Assassin's Creed. Ooh, the website is Ginger, don't go to the website. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Somebody send it to me.
Don't do it. It's Dishonored.com. Don't do it.
Opens up a new window. Dishonored.com.
Oh. Don't do it.
Oh, English?
Ooh. Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
Tell you on my date of birth.
Yeah, they're making sure you're legal. We have one screenshot up available to you. Unfortunately, that's the only one that girls are in. As you all know, we tend to post more femme screenshots, but it is absolutely lovely. I am looking forward to seeing this.
Likes, tweets, yosh.
Yes, very nice.
Watches the debut trailer. Oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to be doing notes. My
yes,
bad.
You are. You see what happens? That's why I don't tell her, don't go.
All right, so this is kind of cool. One of my followers actually just tweeted this, and, I'm totally stealing this. So, who is this?
I got to go over.
Lyman Lou, thank you, by the way. This is neat. I want this. This might be something that we would mention on Pixinista, but this is cool. Wi-Fi blocking wallpaper protects your web fortress by keeping your neighbors out. This is over on Gizmodo.
Ooh.
Yes.
Hot.
Uh-huh. Scientists from the Institute Polytechnique Grenoble INP and the Centre Technique du Papier. Paper? Anyways, have developed a novel new product so gratuitous it almost seems necessary. A silver crystal-coated wallpaper that can block neighbors from freeloading off your Wi-Fi. These silver crystals are arranged arranged in such a way that they are able to block certain wireless frequencies, not least of which is the same frequency as a Wi-Fi router. Hello, Faraday Cage, anybody? But what about just so you have a password-protected network? I don't know. You most certainly can and should do that. Yes, people, you should do that. So many people I talk to are like, I just have the regular, you know, generic password and name that it set up.
What?
Well, then when you get busted for downloading, you know, kiddie porn and everything else, whatever goes to your connection, that's your fault.
I thought you said you had it that way. I was like, Ginger, you know better.
No. My stuff is locked down like Fort Knox. All right, so, but if, for whatever reason, an open network is what you desire, this silver snowflake speckled wall covering will have your back, unless you have Windows. They're still working on a clear coating with protective power equal to that of the paper. Also, there will, of course, be somebody out there who will buy this, someone who both delights in having a room covered floor to ceiling in metallic snowflakes and believes that remediation is superior to setting a password, which is free, mind you. This wallpaper, when it's released in 2013, will cost about as much as a mid-grade conventional wallpaper. They say, who is this person? This person will be me, who buys this for my next home. Yes.
You know what, Jay? I hate you.
What did Jay say?
He's posting pictures of his lunch.
Jay, seriously, what? Nobody's tweeting me this morning.
No, he did just tweet. He just tweeted us. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. That is a good-looking lunch. Why don't we have any? When is my lunch going to arrive? When am I going to hear the knock on the door and it's going to be lunch for Ginger and Corey? I want to hear that.
People, I don't know.
You know, people are like, I don't have your address. Well, that could present a problem. I could see why that would cause a problem.
Yes.
Do you see his lunch?
No. I got to go to your tweet and see it.
He tweeted it to you? Refresh your Twitter, baby girl.
Really?
Yes.
Refresh it. Oh, wait. There goes finally.
You see that there he sent over? That's just mean.
It's loading. You can keep that sandwich. That's disgusting. But, man, that chicken right there? Oh, is that Mellow Yellow? Are you drinking Mellow Yellow?
He's drinking Mellow Yellow. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude. Mellow Yellow, really? Really? Mellow Yellow? Isn't that the stuff that they were all, like, saying causes low sperm count or something?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't even think they sell that down here anymore.
Mellow Yellow.
As a matter of fact, if I recall correctly.
No, they still made that stuff.
That's what I just said. I don't think they sell it down here. And as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, what was it? Mountain Dew actually borrowed that Mellow Yellow phrasing for one of their commercials. Maybe they're made by the same company, but they were, you know, they call me Mellow Yellow in the... It was in a commercial, but it was a Mountain Dew commercial.
No, I don't watch TV.
You have to watch at least a little bit. You know what? I really want whatever that big piece of chicken that he has, I just want to pick it up.
No.
And the potato salad. I hate you, Jerry. Oh.
I know. That looks so good. Well, so much better than my apple. But you know what, Jay? Jay, just for you, are you listening, Jay?
Now, if you are also having lunch while you listen to us, go ahead and tweet us. Let us salivate over your delicious lunch that we don't have. I hate all of you. All right.
What did I have? I had an apple that I'm still working on. I had a rice cake with, finally did it. I tried Nutella. So good. It's so good. So I had a rice cake with Nutella. Just a little bit of Nutella scraped on top. It was really good.
Oh. You're all by yourself on that one. Okay. Give you an update. Ginger, we got to get back to the news. Woman.
Oh, my bad.
She is just having a whole conversation today. Okay. So let me give you some updates on the PEGI ratings. They're expected to have a final ruling in by July. Today, the parliamentary process for the introduction of the PEGI rating systems for video games began, a significant milestone for the classification scheme that could be introduced by July. Or could see it introduced by July. It was 2 years ago that the government announced that the Video Standards Council's PEGI system would become the sole standard form of classification for video games in the UK. The new system will benefit both parents and industry by creating a stronger, simpler age rating system. That's from Creative Industries Minister Ed Vasey. He said it will give parents greater confidence that their children can only get suitable games while we are creating a simpler system for the industry having their games age-related. The system will make the 12 rating legally enforceable and grant the VSC the power to deny games classification altogether if it's deemed too extreme. Retailers that defy the age classifications could face a fine of up to 5,000 euros, francs, lindens, whatever, and 6 months in prison. Oh, we are pleased to hear the PEGI
Prison is not fun. No.
And they said we are pleased to hear the PEGI regulations are another step closer to becoming the UK's sole age rating system for video games, giving much-needed clarification for consumers, and that's from Yuki's Joe Twist. He says, we are also planning in the planning stages of a major awareness campaign to help the public understand the system and other aspects of responsible gaming as soon as the PEGI becomes law in the UK. The majority of games sold in the UK already use the PEGI classification system, and with those containing scenes of sexual nature falling under BBFC jurisdiction. Once the new system comes into effect, only R18 rated games with explicit adult content will receive BBFC classification. The VSC chair, Baroness Shepherd, love your name, says this news is very welcome and finally gives us the mandate to undertake the role of statutory video games regulator in the UK. GI.biz is reporting that the VSC is saying they're fully prepared and ready to carry out the vital role of providing consumers with a large, straightforward games rating system whilst ensuring that child safety remains their first priority. And we need that here. We need for the people to be, retailers to be held accountable. I'm looking at you, Walmart. Somebody comes in to buy something they shouldn't have. Oh, hello, UGE Plex. It was not an interview. We just had a little bit of a quote from him regarding the Shadowrun turn-based game. You can catch it at the top of the show after we're done. We're still live.
Still live. Live every day for lunch, babies.
Every day. So after we're done, just go back and take a little bit of a listen. Very short, sweet, to the point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or at least we try to be until Ginger gets talking about food.
We're apparently hungry. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Yes, food. All right, so what have we got? The Netherlands approves net neutrality law.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Netherlands is the first country in Europe to pass a net neutrality law. Thanks. The Dutch Senate adopted the net neutrality provisions in a new telecom law that was approved on Tuesday night. Those changes to the law were approved unanimously. The law will prevent telecoms from blocking traffic or throttling services such as Skype or WhatsApp, and prevents them from charging specific or extra charges for their internet services dependent on the services used by the subscriber. This doesn't sound so bad. Service providers can throttle traffic under the law, but only to solve congestion problems or to protect the network. They can do this only if they treat all traffic of the same type equally. All right, I like that a little bit better. One notable exception was included in the bill, which lawmakers are calling a mistake that will be rectified in a vote later this month. A religious exception, oh good lord, was included in the law that allows internet users to request an ISP filter their internet traffic by blocking certain services and applications based on ideological grounds. The exception was added to the bill last year when the Dutch Labour Party accidentally voted in favor of an amendment proposed by the Reformed Political Party, SGP, according to Senator Han Noten of the Labour Party, PVDA. Many Dutch politicians see the exception as something that could be used to censor the internet and want it removed. A new amendment will nullify the religious exception clause as part of an unrelated law concerning traffic regulation, according to Noten. The Senate is set to vote on the traffic law and the repair amendment on May 15th. Noten expects the traffic law to pass and the exception to be dealt with. The Christian Union, CU, wants to maintain the religious filtering exception and filed a motion in the Senate asking the government to keep it intact. The Senate will also vote on this motion on May 15th. Hey, Christian Union, why not just go to those websites? Why not avoid those websites? You want to see them? You don't want to see all the stuff about, I don't know, Darwin and how the Big Bang happened, all that fun stuff? Don't research it. How hard is that?
You said go or don't?
Don't. We want you to filter it so that we can't get curious and go look and have all of our poor little ideas questioned. You know what, people? No.
So what you're saying is we need to cut them. I got it.
Well, we need to cut them. I'm all for, you know, having your beliefs and whatnot, but if you want your ISP to filter it so that you can't search, why not just not search?
This is...
Why put extra work on your ISP?
Because we talk about this every day. We have people in power who do not understand the internet, and they just start coming up with stupid things they try to censor or keep people from getting to. When you know what, you just don't have to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I figure if they do this, then they're going to want it to be all like, all right, so these people all belong to our little flock, so you need to, you know, block their access as well. And sorry.
They have issues.
Yeah.
All right. Ugh. Eh. Wait a minute. I lost my place. See, never scroll. You guys remember that. Never scroll. Always
never scroll. Scrolling gets you every time. Every time. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it, you know, because we do this every day. But every time you scroll, man.
Thank you. Finally, I find it. The Gamification Awards results.
Gamification!
Gamification! The Gamification Summit has their award ceremony. They've announced the nominations, or actually the nominations are open, for G Summit. The engagement is the industry's first and only awards program recognizing the finest achievements in gamification over this past year. Nominations may be made by any member of the community. So, yes, you there, you with the dry fish sandwich, Jay, you can vote too. to recognize your favorite gamified apps in a wide range of categories, you would only need to visit gsummit.com/g-awards/. Winners will be announced at G Summit on June 20th. New speakers include Grammy Award winner Chameleonaire. I don't know why. Tickets and information on the G Summit can be found at gsummit.com. Gamification adoption has reached a tipping point, says Gabe Zickerman, who's the chair of the Gamification Summit. Says, and we think it's high time that the very best the industry has to offer will be recognized. With the GA Awards, we are excited to recognize and honor the best achievements in gamification in a number of different areas, from consumer-facing to enterprise applications, and even in terms of societal impact. The inaugural awards will honor the best examples of gamification in the following categories. They're short, so I'll share them with you. Consumer-facing app site, education, the enterprise, health and wellness, societal good, and overall greatest impact. In each category, community nominations will determine the finalists that will then be voted on by a panel of industry experts. Why can I not talk today? Top vote getters in the open round will also be eligible to win the People's Choice Award in each category. You can also find complete rules over at their website. Help me. So in addition to Chameleonaire, who is scheduled to show up, you have Tim Cheng, who's the noted venture capitalist from Mayfield Fund, and he's number 54 on the Forbes list. Ladies, I believe he might be single. Mm-hmm. Brian Wong, who's startup WonderKind and KIPP CEO. Brian will also discuss the gamification in the gaming space, and they, of course, have a brand new health panel with representatives from United Healthcare, Rock Health, Zanzi, and Cake Health, and all that kind of good stuff. And there's a ton more, they're saying. They've got like 50 speakers from United Airlines, OMG Pop, Google, Cisco, NBC, Oracle, Microsoft, eBay, all the usual suspects. It's going to take place again this June in San Francisco from the 19th through the 21st in San Francisco's Concourse Exhibition Center. I cannot talk. If you would like to register again, you can pop over to their site, gsummit.com. We'll have this up on our site shortly if you are interested in attending. I am not wanting to go because Chameleonaire is going to be there. And not that I hate him, but our little gaming space becomes so diluted by people who are not gamers. Why did you not grab you a Vin Diesel or somebody who's actually a gamer? He's very well spoken. I know people don't think he is, but he's very well spoken when coached. And lots of us girls will show up because he's there. Just saying.
True story. All right. So I've got some rewards. Raptor to give away 2,500 copies of Minecraft Xbox 360 edition and of new Raptor rewards program.
Ooh, ah.
Gamers eligible to redeem free copy of Indie Game Phenom on May.
See, I'm contagious.
I know, right? All right, so this happens on May 10th, which is, hey, look at that, today. Yeah, today. Raptor and Microsoft will give away 2,500 copies of Minecraft Xbox 360 edition to Raptor users as part of the newly unveiled Raptor Rewards program. The Minecraft Xbox 360 edition reward is one of many available to gamers just for playing their favorite games. This is the first time that Mojang's award-winning game Minecraft will be available on Xbox 360. The Xbox Live Arcade version of the game features an innovative new crafting interface, natural controller movements, a full tutorial mode to teach the basics, and an all-new split-screen multiplayer mode on Xbox Live. It will be available on Xbox Live Arcade on May 9th, 2012 for 1,600 Microsoft points. Gamers can begin redeeming the Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition reward on May 10th, 2012 on Raptor.com, but are highly encouraged to join today as all rewards will be offered on a rolling first-come, first-served basis. All right, so you want to do this? Raptor.com, and it's raptr.com/rewards. Yeah, and there's, you know, the whole eligibility and why gamers should do this. And if you want to check this out, it's up on gamenatrix.com this morning. Head over, check it out.
And why? I gotta say, I played Minecraft on my phone, addicting. I have it for the iPad, not so addicting.
No, and I read a review the other day for Minecraft on the Xbox, and it's not going to be open world and MMO-ish like the PC version.
This no look good.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the main driving focuses is that you're able to build with your friends, and your friends can come to your towns and build with you if you are online for the Xbox.
Why would you...
Yeah, with the PC version, you have your servers, and, you know, people belong to your servers, and they're able to come and go as they please, whether or not you're online.
How is this going to work? I'm trying to...
I don't know. I don't see it working.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. I don't get it. That whole essence, like you said, of Minecraft, if you can't have that, then why are we playing it on Xbox? Why are we paying for it? It's that. I don't think I've paid for it on my phone.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I enjoy it immensely, I just want to say. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had the free version on my phone. Really didn't know what I was doing, but I have been watching a friend of mine play it on her PC. And I'm starting to get the itch to want to play. Cause it's kind of like, you know.
I should be playing this.
I have to do this better. I can do this with less bricks.
Well, remember I was telling you about the Pebble Watch on your wrist that has this plugs in with your phone and all that good stuff?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the team behind the much-talked-about Pebble Smartwatch has finished taking orders on their Kickstarter page. And according to VentureBeat, they have over 85,000 orders placed for the device. You know how much money that equals?
How much?
$10.1 million so far. They still have 8 days to go on their Kickstarter countdown, and people can only donate $1 now that the 85,000 order limit has been reached. A dollar donation will get you exclusive updates about Pebble going forward. Pebble integrates with your smartphone via Bluetooth and uses an e-ink display to show information like call data, calendar entries, social media updates. After more than a few terrible attempts at creating a decent smartwatch, it looks like Pebble has found the right elements. With an elegant design and a customizable app experience. I'm going to need some new colors. I did tell y'all, red is good. More than 66,000 people have donated to Pebble's Kickstarter so far. To fulfill its side of the deal, the Pebble team has about 5 months to build and ship all the watches people have ordered. Woo! Go, Pebble, go! People who pledged to Pebble, paid between $99 to $125 for a watch, whereas the device will retail for about $150 after it gets off the ground. Pebble has already begun grabbing app partners with Runkeeper, a popular app for measuring and tracking your fitness, and is being announced as the first official app for Pebble. Pebble Story and a few other standouts, of course, Double Fine Adventures, are indicative of the new wave of user-powered funding. Crowdfunding contributed an estimated $1.5 billion to new ventures just last year, and that number will likely have doubled by the end of this year. Congratulations to you, Pebble folk, and we would like to go ahead and put in our order for red Pebble watches with, what color would you like, Ginger? Let's get a different color for Ginger. Pink?
Pink or purple?
Pink or purple. We'd like that. And I would like for my watch to be red band with a black face, and I would like red type, because if you see the watch, it's very nice.
Yeah.
You can go to Kickstarter to check out the watch. Oh, I spoke too soon. There is one with a red face. Hotness!
Ooh.
And it's got Bluetooth 4.0 inside every Pebble. Yes.
Ooh.
And it's supposed to support, starting support as low as 2.1. Let me see what else I got here before I let you go. They said they most likely will not enable the Bluetooth 4 at launch, but they'll turn it on with the software at a later date via a free upgrade.
Yay, for free upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This watch is gorgeous, the red one. It looks so different with the red. I like it. I'm hoping this is not just a bad prototype. Don't tease us.
All right.
Ginger, what? It comes in white.
Ooh.
It is gorgeous in white. You guys go over it?
Have you tweeted it?
I am about to. Ooh, it's so lovely.
Tweet it. Okay. Tweet it hard.
Even
I love you, Corey.
I think I'd be done.
Oh, come on, Corey. You love me. You know you do.
Oh.
All right. Have we already talked about Frogster and the blood for Terra and all this fun stuff? Did we already do this?
No.
All right. So, GamePolitics.com this morning, Frogster to return blood to European Terra players next week. Yay! All right. So they say you... Oh, I'm going to sneeze. All right. I think I'm okay. You may recall last month that European players of the MMO Terra were up in arms over the fact that the game in their region had been stripped of blood. They started a petition and took to forums to complain about it with much gusto. According to a Eurogamer report, game operator Frogster has decided that it will patch the red stuff back into the game. The ratings board for Europe will allow Frogster to do this and to keep its current rating of PEGI 12, equivalent to a teen rating here in North America, with one small difference, according to a Frogster representative. They say the only major difference with the North American version of Terra is the blood spatter effect. It's not going to appear in our version. It's going to be a slightly modified effect, but the blood is coming back. Really, people? Y'all have issue with blood? All right, anyways... While the game carries a PEGI 12 rating in Europe, the ratings board has allowed the blood effect slider to return to Terra with one small alteration. Along with the return of the blood to the game, the update will also add guild emblems, another feature that was removed after initially being available. Oh, see, you should always have that. Apart from the eventual Nazi symbols or pedo-pornographic images, there was also a high threat in terms of security in case someone wanted to upload a virus. Oh, see, that's where you have, like, a logo builder in your game. You give us the shapes, you give us the colors, you let us design it ourselves. It's all from yours. We're not uploading anything. These emblems will exist in the game's client and leave a player's hard drive out of the equation, although Frogster will be on the lookout for offensive images. Other changes in the upcoming update include chat filter refinements, bug fixes, and in-game political system. All of this will happen next week. All right, people... I want pictures. I know y'all are going to make some crazy emblems. The first one of the penis one, I want to see, okay?
Wait, Ginger.
Ginger at GameAndAtrix.com.
Ginger, you are asking for trouble, girl.
Oh, I'm so totally asking for trouble. I love me some trouble. Ginger at GameAndAtrix.com. Send me your guild image.
I am so happy that our social thing is turned off right
maybe
now.
If it's cool, I will totally tweet it.
I'm so happy that our social thing is turned off right now because I could just see that on the front page of our site. I made one with a bam. There it is on the front page. And I have to go and ban that person.
Oh, come on. That would be fun.
Mm-mm. That is bad, 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 Ginger, bad. I'm sorry. I'm still looking at these Pebble watches.
Yeah.
Ginger, they're beautiful. I did just share it on our Facebook page. Ginger, these are beautiful. I want it.
You know, did you tweet the image?
I shared it on Facebook. Let me pop over to Twitter and share.
Oh, you know I'm not in that Facebook. I've got about 3-4 different Facebooks. True story, people. Ginger is all over the place. Y'all have no idea.
I have been such a bad influence on the Gingers. All of them, actually. I'm turning them into workaholics. Seriously. they don't have their Twitter connected. Why don't you have your... Why you don't work?
Why you no work?
Well, you can find them at pebblewatch.com. I'm all kinds of in love with them. I'm going to be following them. You make me a... look at that. Look at that. That is lovely. Oh, my God.
I'm still waiting for it to pop up. Reload. Reload faster.
Mm-hmm. People at home are like, can you all talk, finish the news?
All right. I guess I could go ahead and do one. Did I just do one or did
you? Yes, you did. It'd be my turn.
Oh, okay.
It'd be my turn. I talk like a pirate day every day for me. It looked every day. All right. Got some interesting news going on with Game over in the UK. Yeah. According to the UK and GI.biz, HMV has said that the better publisher relationships and the drop in game specialist stores numbers have led to a significant change of plans when it comes to shelf space that it dedicates to games. They're saying, we have gone from thinking we might have to reduce the space for games to the opposite. This is from CEO Simon Fox, and he told MTV. He said, before and during Christmas, the support we were getting from the games industry in general was disappointing. He said, since then, we rebuilt our relationships with all the key publishers. The relationships that we now have with the industry have never been stronger. Just 6 days ago, HMV revealed its annual sales and had fallen by 18.3%. Fox saw games' recent troubles as a chance to increase profitability and grow market share. Ooh, somebody stepped up. Wow. The high street has nearly 300 fewer dedicated game outlets, they're saying. It says we have a credible games offer on many of those. Why can I not talk today? On many of those high streets, and it would be absolutely criminal of us to not take advantage of that. We need to do everything that we can to grab market share, both where we are up against game and where we are not. Because, as you know, game did not go away. They got bought out by someone else. And I've never heard of HMV, but it looks like they stepped up. It looks more like a clothing store if you see their sign. If you go to hmv.co.uk, they actually look more like they sold clothes. That may be why you were not doing so well before.
Just a little bit. Yeah,
you look like a clothing store. Well, they're busy. But congratulations to you. Good to see somebody's flourishing over in the UK, and our UK gamers aren't left without somewhere to get their stuff, because we thought we were going to have to resort to bootlegging. No, well, not bootlegging, but, you know, doing the black market sales for our UK people. We were going to have to buy games for them and ship them over there.
Something. Totally, yeah.
We thought we were.
Right, so what have we got? There is all kinds of just stuff going on today, and I have no idea where I want to go with it. All right, well, I'm going to go with this one because, you know, we've been talking about AXA and SOPA and TIPA, and now that other one that I can't think of the name of right now. What was it, TPP? Yeah. Anyways, pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning, Switzerland will not sign ACTA. According to website Geneva Lunch, the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement, ACTA, quietly suffered another setback today in Switzerland, of course, where the Swiss Federal Council said it would not sign the agreement. The Federal Council noted on Wednesday that since negotiations for the treaty concluded, criticism of ACTA has continued to grow in a number of countries. The Federal Council went on to say that they are taking fears expressed about ACTA seriously because they concern fundamental liberties and important legal provisions. Apparently yesterday, Molly, yesterday we reported that the Greens Party in Australia demanded that the government there back away from ratifying the treaty. Meanwhile, German politicians are recommending to developing countries that they should avoid being part of the treaty. Yes, y'all heard me make fun of that one that I don't even remember the name of now. Beyond the protests on the streets and online across Europe, many in the European Union see the treaty as overkill because EU law covers a lot of what the treaty calls for. At the end of the day, politicians see it as not worth spending the political capital on when so many of its citizens don't like it. True story. U.S., anybody listening here, we don't like ACTA, all right? We don't like it. Stop trying to push ACTA.
Oh, of course we need to push ACTA.
No. We need to push my boot into somebody's rear end. That's what we need. Yes. Forcefully and repeatedly.
Wow.
Still so first.
Hey, Ginger. Save it for later.
That's right. Today is Thursday, so we get to be on air, ooh, in just a couple of hours. And we get to do this with no filter, baby.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'll give you something we'll probably argue about later.
No filter, no net.
That's right. Later on, we'll be talking about how Elder Scrolls Online, they're already saying it's going to turn to free-to-play already.
You know, most MMOs nowadays are going to be free-to-play. So.
Well, you know, they haven't even launched it yet, and they're already predicting it's not going to have a subscription base for long because it's Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, and look who they've got to compete with. So.
Well, it's not just that, but everybody's against them being, you know, an MMO in the first place.
That's true. Very true.
I want my friends to come in. I don't want to play with the whole world.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys know where you can find us, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. We'll be on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Time. sure you are there. We will be live. We also have a live chat at night. You can pop in and interact with us and call in and ask us strange questions so we can hang up on you. Anyway.
See you guys later. Bye.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mm-hmm.